Floods and storms may come in our lives. I was just thinking back to the time of Noah and the great flood, after which God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of the covenant that he made with humanity. Never again to destroy the world by flood. That doesn't mean that floods won't happen. It doesn't mean that storms won't come. But it does mean that God is always with us in those storms. Yeah, floods may come, storms may come, but the floods and the storms will never destroy us. They might make us significantly damp. They may sweep us a little bit upriver, but God is with us in every storm and every situation. And we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful that we have a God who cares. This evening, I want us to think about the transformative power of the gospel. The gospel message, the truth that Jesus Christ has come to bear the penalty for our sins, to suffer, to die, to rise again, means that he's paid the price for our healing, paid the price for our restoration. He's paid the price for our wholeness. And all of us experience problems in life. If I ask you to put your hands up if you've never had a problem, I'm assuming all your hands would stay down. Because we live in a fallen, broken world. We ourselves are imperfect. There's this horrible thing called sin that affects every single one of us on this planet. But God is faithful. And God didn't leave us in our sin to fester, to die. He sent his son to carry the penalty for our sin, to carry the full weight, the full burden of everything that you or I have ever done wrong. And he loves us. And because he loves us, he makes us whole. That might be a process that doesn't actually finish until we get to glory and we spend eternity with our Lord and Saviour. God is able to heal today. His power is no different today from when our Lord walked upon the face of this planet. When he healed the blind, when he healed the deaf, when he even raised the dead. There is no limit to the power of our Lord and our Saviour. Yes, there are times when he will choose, for whatever reason, not to heal. But we have to trust his sovereignty. We have to trust his faithfulness. We have to trust that he knows better than we about our circumstance and situation. If you think about the Apostle Paul, he prayed many times that God would take away the thorn in his flesh. But God didn't. And perhaps if God had taken away that thorn that the Apostle Paul had, the Apostle Paul would not have been as effective in his ministry as he was. Perhaps the thorn in his flesh is what he needed to stay focused on God, to keep Christ at the centre in every circumstance and situation. I mean, you or I, we may think like we've got difficult lives, but I'm going to assume that you've never been put into stocks and stuck into a prison, that you haven't been shipwrecked, that you haven't been beaten, that you haven't had to be lowered over the side wall of a city in a basket to escape those who are trying to hurt and persecute you. But our problems are real. Our pain is real. Our difficulties are real. And God says to us, his grace is sufficient in every circumstance. Perhaps it's because of who we are that we struggle to accept the truth of who he is and what he can do. Tonight I want us to look at a profound theme. The very heart of Jesus' mission, his ministry, healing and wholeness. He came to set us free. He came to heal us from the burden of our sin, to make us whole, to make us fit for heaven. And the scripture foundation that I've got for us this evening comes from two key passages. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, and Psalm 147, verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. These scriptures really encapsulate the transformative power of the gospel. They encapsulate God's desire to bring complete restoration into our lives. We're going to look at four key aspects in the divine mission of our Lord. The anointing of the Spirit, the mission of Jesus, the proclamation of God's favour, and the role of healing in our lives. So the first point, the anointing of the Spirit, empowered for healing and wholeness. Jesus begins his mission by affirming that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, for he has been anointed. Now, this anointing signifies the divine empowerment that Jesus has for the mission that's set before him. To bring healing, to bring wholeness to a broken and damaged world. Look at the news. Look at what's going on in the world right now. None of us can deny that the world that we live in is broken. But Jesus came. Jesus came to save. In Old Testament times, kings, priests, prophets, they were anointed with oil, symbolizing the Holy Spirit's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And here, Jesus declares himself as the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was promised of old, that would come to set the captive free, that would come to restore our relationship with Father God. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 reinforces this. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus can heal all. Whatever our circumstance, whatever our situation, whatever physical ailment it is, Jesus can heal. But as I say, sometimes God chooses not to heal. And even in that, we have to trust him. It's not because he doesn't love us. It's not because he doesn't care. It's because he knows exactly what is right for us. I was talking to someone earlier about the minister of the church that I used to go to. This is a guy who's in his 80s. He's got stage 4 cancer. He's now wearing a back brace so that he can walk around. But every single Sunday, he faithfully preaches at his church. He's like the Duracell bunny. He doesn't seem to be able to burn out or run out of energy. And he will say it's because God is using him. It's because the Holy Spirit is sustaining him. And I wonder how many of us would be as dedicated as he is if we were facing the end as he is and yet still wanting to serve. Still going off on mission trips to places like Brazil, out into the favelas, into the most dangerous of places. No insurance company will insure him anymore. His doctors tell him that he should stay at home and never go out and strain himself, and yet keeps going. It's an example for us that we should do what we can to serve the Lord. No matter how broken we feel, no matter how damaged we are, we can still proclaim the truth of who Jesus is to a lost and broken world. Of course, Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and there was miraculous healings that took place, there was deliverance that took place, and that all happened to deliver and fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 61, verse 1, which says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." There are so many in this world that are held captive by the bondage of sin. There are so many in this world that need to be made whole in Christ. There's so many in this world that need to know the healing touch that comes when Jesus enters into a person's life. Just as Jesus was anointed for his mission, we too are called. We too are anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring freedom into a world that is in such a great need. I'm sure if you thought about it, you'd be able to name people in your family, people in your street, people in the place that you work that need a touch from Jesus on their life. They might not even know it. They might not even acknowledge that God exists, but they need God to break through with his healing power, changing the situation, changing the circumstance, and just doing what God does best. Blessing those who once were his enemies. Blessing those who don't even know his name. And yet when they turn to him, he welcomes them with open arms. Doesn't just invite them into church, but brings them into his family, adopts them as his own children. Who do you know that you should be praying for that needs to know Jesus for themselves? We need the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us for the mission that God has called us to. And we need to be willing to step out in faith. We need to trust that God is able to move and bring wholeness and transformation. Second point, the mission of Jesus, bringing comprehensive healing. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. The mission of Jesus, it's a comprehensive mission. He addresses our physical needs, our spiritual needs, our emotional needs, and even our social needs. He is able to meet every need that you or I have. And there in Matthew 11, verse 5, it summarizes the impact of Jesus' ministry. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. All of those things are important. All of those things are necessary. But the preaching of the good news, maybe that's where our focus needs to be more often. Perhaps if we were willing to actually follow the great commission of our Lord, not the great suggestion to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but the great commission, the commandment to go and preach the gospel, we would see God move more often in power. Maybe it starts with our willingness to be the vessel that he uses. Maybe it starts with us being willing to get outside of our comfort zone, to share the truth, to speak life, to tell people that there is a way. One way to be certain of salvation. One way to be certain of restoration. And that way is Jesus Christ. Because his mission wasn't limited to physical healing. He came to set the captive free, to liberate those that were bound by sin. It's a complete picture. A whole picture. John 8:36 declares, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Maybe on earth we're never going to be free totally of physical pain. Maybe on earth we're never going to be free from things that attempt to press in and push down upon us. Maybe on earth we are never going to have a week where everything goes smooth and perfect. If you've ever seen some of these pictures that they show on television of like serene lake scenes where you've got this perfectly flat lake or river that seems to be made of glass and the wind may be blowing, but the lake stays totally calm. I don't know about you, but I think I'd love to have a life like that. But that's not the reality, is it? Sometimes there's ripples on the pond and sometimes there's an entire storm that's waiting to drop down on us. But in every circumstance, in every situation, Jesus is with us and we are not alone. He gave us a great promise. He will never leave us or forsake us. Do we own that promise? Do we know the truth of that promise when we're in the midst of the storm? We've been set free, but we don't always live in the freedom that we have. Psalm 147, verse 3. This assures us of God's healing power. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Sometimes we do need bandages, don't we? Sometimes it's a physical problem that we've got. Maybe you've broken a leg or sprained a wrist and you have to have a bandage. And the restraint that is actually put on the wound or the break actually helps healing to come. If you've got a broken wrist and you just let it dangle, it's never going to be repaired or renewed in the way that it was. And there are times in our lives, I think, where God wraps us in a spiritual bandage. We may still be broken underneath, but we are healing. Sometimes it's a long process. Sometimes it's a quick process. I've read stories of how early in the healing movement, people were healed miraculously. I was listening to one of the Limitless podcasts and the leaders that were on there were talking about healing. And there was a young lady who's a youth worker in a church somewhere up north who said that she encourages her youth and children to pray for one another. And there was a girl who came in. She had a problem with one leg being shorter than the other. The youth and the kids prayed for this girl in the church. And the woman who was talking on the podcast said that she physically screamed as she saw the girl's leg grow out to match the length of her other leg. She knew that God could. She knew that God has. But seeing it in front of her, and she's like, what? Do we limit the move of God because we don't believe enough that God can? We quite often shape our prayers to fit around what we hope God will do, rather than what we know he can do if it's his will. He heals the brokenhearted. Once upon a time, all of us were brokenhearted. Weren't we? All of us were damaged. All of us had hearts that were bound by sin. And then Jesus broke through and he's healed our hearts. For me, he's given me a battery. I have a pacemaker that means I can keep going and not shut down until the battery runs out.
You
praise
are
God.
Duracell bunny.
I am a Duracell bunny, yeah. I don't know if it is a Duracell battery, but whatever. There are times when in our lives God uses the medical advances that have existed to actually keep us alive. He'll use medication, he'll use therapy, he will use whatever tool is available to ensure that we are healed. And there are those times when he will just move by the miraculous.
Yeah.
And I would love to see someone's leg grow back.
Yeah.
In the early days of Elim, this is what I was meant to say before I started talking about the podcast. There was a girl who had no eyes. I've shared this story before. And every week she would go to the hospital and they would clear out the eye sockets so that she wouldn't get some kind of secondary infection. And this girl went to one of the Jeffrey's healing missions. Jeffries prayed for her and her eyes grew back. And the following day she had an appointment with the hospital as usual. So she went and then she sat there. Her doctors come in and said, "Who's this woman? Where's my patient?" Because she had eyes. His patient didn't. And she told the guy what happened, said to the doctor, went to this healing mission. And I can see. It's a miracle. And that night, the doctor and all of his staff went to the second night of the Jeffrey's mission. And all of his staff were saved.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Sometimes we need the miraculous to happen to actually draw us near to God. Yet there's evidence in the world around us that God is God.
Yes.
He heals us. He bandages our wounds. Are our hearts ready to be healed? Are we ready for the radical change that will take place in our lives if our hearts are completely healed and aligned with his purposes and his will? We often pray for revival, don't we? We often say, "Oh, if only God could move as he moved before." I don't think we realise just how much church would change if revival came. I mean, imagine that you came to church this evening and the building was so full that the seat that Jesus gave you wasn't available. But I've sat there for the last 22 years. Doesn't matter. Or the holiness that we would live by if our hearts were fully aligned with God's will. You know, we pray for healing and we pray for wholeness, but we actually just want God to do this little bit when God wants to do so much more.
Yeah.
Maybe at times that's why the healing that we pray for doesn't come, because what that would lead into would be far more than we could carry. Yet God is sovereign. God is able. Perhaps when it comes to the heart, perhaps when it comes to actually having our heart aligned with God's heart, there are times when God will use specific people in specific ways and we'll look at them and go, "Well, how could they do that?" I mean, think about Corrie ten Boom during the Second World War. The fact that she was able to forgive her captors. Everything that she experienced, everything that she went through, and yet she was still able to forgive. How? Why? Because she knew that God had forgiven her. And the Bible is clear. We all fall short of God's standard. None of us reach it. Whether you think that you are there or you think that you are there, you are still falling short of what God says is his standard. And if God has forgiven you as God has forgiven me, who are we not to forgive others? And maybe our healing, maybe our wholeness begins by us learning to forgive others.
Yeah.
Maybe our heart needs to be positioned so that we can receive the healing that we so desire. Third point, proclamation of God's favour, living in the light of his grace. Jesus concludes his mission statement with, "And that the time of the Lord's favour has come." Now this refers to the Jubilee in the Old Testament. If you want to read about it when you go home, Leviticus 25 is where you need to be. It's a time of liberation, it's a time of restoration, it's a time of rest. Jesus declares that a spiritual Jubilee has come. God's grace and favour are now available to all of us through him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 emphasizes the urgency of the message. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Friends, we live in a time of God's favor. We live in a time where grace and salvation are available to all. We live in a time when grace and salvation is available to all who will turn, all who will repent, all who will ask Jesus to be Lord and Saviour. But sadly, not everyone will ask. I mean, if I consider myself against Megan, yeah, I mean, one of us isn't worthy. At least one of us isn't worthy. None of us are worthy. And yet the free gift of salvation is open to all who will receive it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Do you embrace the gift that God has given you? Already given you. Your salvation is secure. You are secure in Christ. Not because of who we are, but because of what he has done. And yes, we have to turn to him. We have to invite him into our lives. We have to repent. But isn't that a small thing to do, to be given the gift of eternal life, restoration and wholeness? Maybe you've read the book or seen the movie The Cross and the Switchblade. It details the life of a guy called Nicky Cruz, who was a former gang leader in New York. And he was witness to, and his life was transformed and changed. From being a criminal and a troublemaker, from being one of the people that you would probably cross the road or maybe even run across the road to get away from, he became someone who helped to share the message and the truth of the gospel. Friends, our lives may not have been that bad in human perspectives, but again, all of us have fallen short. And all of us should be willing, as he was, to proclaim testimony of how God has changed us. If God brings healing or wholeness into your life this evening, be ready to testify to others what it is that God has done. Nicky Cruz's life is just one example of how God can bring spiritual wholeness, restoration, change into someone's life. It was a radical change. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't need a radical change. I just need God too. Friends, we're either sold out for God or we're not. We're either willing to accept the fullness of what he wants to do, or there's no point asking. Fourth point, the role of faith in healing, trusting in God's power. Faith is a critical component in receiving God's healing. Matthew 9:22, Jesus, his words to the woman who had been suffering for 12 years. Daughter, be encouraged, your faith has made you well. We know the story of the woman, bleeding for 12 years, ritually unclean, in the sight of all of those around her in her community. Yet in her faith, she thinks to herself, if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. What is your if I just moment? What is your thing that you need to do, reaching out in faith, that will actually bring the wholeness that you seek? I mean, for her, if she'd have approached the rabbi and touched him, technically, according to the laws of the priests at the time, Jesus would have become unclean. For her to actually approach with her condition was asking an awful lot. She could have been thrown out of the village, stoned. And yet, the touch of faith brings healing into her life. This woman was healed instantly. The Greek word that's used in this verse for well, it's sozo. It doesn't just mean heal, it means save and deliver. So this woman was healed, saved and delivered by reaching out to Jesus. The Greek is fantastic. It is so much better than English for so many things. It's true. In English, we've got words that seem to carry meaning, but when you dig back into the Greek or the Aramaic or the Hebrew, you understand that actually this is much bigger than what we're reading. Here, sozo, it's not just physical healing. the salvation, deliverance, just by one touch of the Lord and Saviour. And Jesus acknowledges her faith as key to her healing. Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. How strong is your faith this evening, friends? How much do you trust that God can move? How much do you know that God will move? We need to believe that God can heal, even when we don't see the immediate results. Maybe he's realigning our heart. Maybe he's realigning our minds. Maybe he's just enabling us to carry the burden that we are carrying. But in everything, he is our Lord. And he loves us and he cares for us. And we need to trust that his timing is perfect. We need to trust him in all. I spoke this morning about the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth, a man of great faith who witnessed multitudes of miraculous healings during his time of ministry. He was a man who had unwavering faith in God's healing power. And he should be an inspiration to each and every one of us that God can move, that God can change, that God will transform lives. Let's bring it into land. In conclusion, we are transformed by the truth of Jesus' mission and his message. As we embrace the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as we participate in the mission that God has called us to, as we live in the light of God's favour and trust and word, healing can come into our lives. Wholeness can come into our lives. We can reflect his glory when we allow him to move. This week, when you go from this place, think about the promises of healing and wholeness that exist in the Bible, that are for us. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did then, when Jesus walked along the surface of this earth, he can do now. He can move in power. And we should be praying for those that are in need. We should be praying for opportunities to be a conduit of his healing and his love. If you're in need of prayer this evening, whether your need is physical, emotional, or spiritual, we're going to have a time of prayer. Don't be afraid to say that you need prayer. Don't be afraid to put your hand up. I'm not going to ask anyone to come to the front. We'll come and pray with you where you are. But have faith that God will answer prayer according to his will, according to his mercy, and according to his grace. He is able. We must trust. God is faithful. His word is true. In every area of our life, we can trust him because he loves us so much that he was willing to send his son to die in our place. So let's receive from him all that he is able to give, all that he is able to do. Let's trust him in all things. Let me just pray, and then perhaps we can have some music play while we come and pray for people. Father, I thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you were willing to send your son to bear the penalty for our sin. And we thank you that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Thank you for what you're going to do in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you will move by your power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to work in each and every one of us. Change us, transform us, conform us to our Father's will and purpose. And may we ever trust you that your will for our lives is perfect, that you are sovereign in all things. Lord, we love you so much. We give you our thanks. We give you our praise. We give you our worship, for you deserve it all. Holy Spirit, descend on this place now. Fill us afresh, anoint us anew. Bring healing and wholeness and transformation. Change us, Lord. Conform us to your image. Conform us to your will. Make us whole, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.